ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayahs 47 to 54. We will look at its tafsir. The ayahs we are going to learn about are about munafiqeen, or the hypocrites. We will learn the attitude of the munafiq at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their behavior. As we learn about the munafiq, we can learn to analyze our deeds and behavior. And when we compare them with our behavior, we may find many similarities. Then what do we need to do? If we see traits within us similar to those of munafiq, what do we need to do? We need to do is eliminate them from us. What we need to realize is that we do not follow the actions of munafiq unconsciously, without knowing. So we look at the ayahs. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ. And they say, who? The munafiq of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it can be of today. It can be munafiq of any time period. They were not just there at the time of the Prophet, because despite living in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were people who were hypocrites. Then it is most likely there are more in later time, if they were there then. They are present even today. They say, we believe in Allah and His Messenger. This is what they would say verbally and profess to having faith, and were loud in their declaration. وَأَطَعْنَا, and we obeyed. And this is what they would say for themselves. We have faith, and we are the ones who obey. Summa, then, it shows passing of some time. يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then what happened? Not all of them, but a group from them. What did they do? They turned away from after them. After their professing that they believe in Allah and His Messenger, and they said they obey, those who are truthful remain upon it, but a group from them they turn away. What do they turn away from? From obedience. They turn away from obedience. When he remembers his circumstances, and then makes excuses. When he is told to do something, he says, no, I cannot. And he remembers his job, his business, his family, and kids. So he gets hindered from obedience of Allah due to one reason or another. At time of action, they turn away. وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a verdict that they are definitely not ones who believe. When they say they believe, and Allah says they are not ones to believe, as in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. From people are some who say we believe in Allah and the last day, and Allah says they are not believers. They recite the testimony of faith, the kalima, and they say that they are Muslims. They stand in the rows of Muslims and praise the laws. And they look Muslim. Their names are Muslim. They have recited the kalima and join in the gatherings of Muslims. But what if that removes them from the boundaries of faith? Why does Allah say they are not believers? because what they utter and say with their mouths, they do not act upon it. And faith is not just saying a word, but there are three things in faith. Number one, verifying in the heart. The heart should verify that this is the truth, and the person should believe. There should be no doubt whether there is a law, or if there is a day of judgment, or calling it made up stuff, or saying, this is the book of Allah, or maybe people wrote it later down in history. If any of these doubts arise, then there is no faith. This is called tasdeeq bil qalb, which is verifying in the heart. And a person should firmly believe that this is the truth, and then not have any doubts. Number two, then iqrar bil lisan. The tongue should verify that ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah. The tongue should utter this. Number three, amal bil jawari. Jawari are body parts, doing actions, showing belief with actions in life of a person. Faith is only complete when these three things are complete. It cannot be that the tongue is uttering, but there is nothing in action that shows a person is a Muslim. Actions are like other people, and there are no traces of Islam in life. The person says, I do not want to be an extremist. How can following what is required in the religion of Islam is extremism? And have to obey. When we say we believe with our tongue, say we believe in Allah and His Messenger. Otherwise, what are we believing in when we do not obey the Prophet? Then what do we believe in if we say that if we obey, we will become extremists? While without actions, faith is not complete. Testifying with tongue alone is not enough. As when a person fills out a form and the checkbox for religion as Islam, it doesn't mean the person is a believer. Believing is not just when someone says they believe. Munafiq would not understand this. They would just think that verbally saying, yes, we are believers and we have faith, was enough. Rather, the requirement of faith is obeying the commands of Allah in action. Actions are a proof that what the person is attesting to verbally is true. We can understand with an example of someone we consider our best friend. The friend always calls herself your best friend, but her saying that, is it enough? When there is a time of need or a problem, then she would prove with actions that she truly is your friend. The friend, not by verbally saying she is your best friend. She is no best friend if she doesn't show by her actions. She has to show her truthfulness in friendship by being there at time of need. So verbally testifying is not enough. Only doing tasdeeq bil qalb and iqrar bil lisan, thinking that these two things are enough, is not enough. When someone says they believe in their heart and they say they believe with their tongue, just by saying they believe, would our actions prove this? Faith is not there if the third component of faith is not present. Here the problem is, as we see the munafiq, who would say we believe in Allah and His Messenger and show themselves to be good Muslims, and they prayed in Jama'ah in the masjid. They would sit in the gathering of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were in his company, and that was such an honor to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is something very scary. This is not to be taken lightly. We cannot just read over and think that those were the munafiq. Allah tells us, whoever doesn't verify faith with their actions, when one submits and surrenders, until this doesn't happen, and with every command of Allah by obedience, if there is no obedience, then there is no faith. No matter how much people appreciate Islam, as many have done, we hear of Gandhi and many poets who say Islam is a very good religion and has many good rules, but doesn't accept for himself or herself, then he is not a believer. Just as Abu Talib had said and even recited poetry, saying that I have realized that Deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is better than any deen of this world and correct the way of life. But did he testify himself and accept it? No, he did not. He left it at the first stage. The third stage never came. Until a person doesn't transform oneself according to this divine religion, then he is not a believer with Allah. No matter how much the person says and how much is testified, cannot be a believer. The certificate of belief will only be given to one who has all three of these things. What do we constantly find in the Quran? Aminu wa aminu salihat. Iman is mentioned, not Islam. Not just reciting the kalima, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And accepting Islam is easy, but doesn't necessarily mean that if anyone accepts Islam, he is one with faith. For faith or iman, all things are needed. It is possible that a person says he believes, but there is no iman or faith in the heart. Iman is important, as iman and Islam are two different things. There are three types of people. The first category are ones who obey in everything. The second category are the ones who do not obey in anything. The third category are ones who obey in some things and not in others, in matters of commands of Allah. So those who obey some commands and do not obey other commands according to their own will, even they are not considered ones with faith and do not get the certificate of having faith. Iman is obeying in everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my entire ummah will go to Jannah, except one who denied. The companions asked, who are the ones who deny? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who obeys me will go to Jannah, and one who disobeys me will go to Jahannam or Hellfire. Iman in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obedience of the Prophet. So what will happen to those who say they do not believe in Hadith and say it was written later after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it was changed and do not believe in it? What will happen to them? From this we learn that the Prophet should be obeyed. Faith or Iman is believing in Allah and His Messenger and obedience and listening to the kalam or speech of Allah, the Quran, and obeying the commands in it. Whereas if a person says, I believe in the commands, and fall short and make mistakes, that's a different matter than one saying, I will never obey these commands and do not believe in them. That is wrong. And this is what takes a person out of faith and enters them into disbelief. وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, so they decide or judge between them, a group from them turns away, turning away physically In Muaridun is physical turning, while in Tawallo is turning away in heart. So when they are told to come, Allah and His Messenger will decide between them. They turn away. Today the Prophet ﷺ is not alive. In that case, it refers to matters of deen. At those times, all kinds of matters needed a decision or a judgment. For example, a dispute between two people regarding ownership of land or property. If a dispute arose, the Prophet ﷺ would judge between them. When the Prophet migrated to Medina, there were no courts, so the Prophet ﷺ, when he made treaties with the different tribes, and they made the Prophet ﷺ a leader of Medina, then all matters were brought to the Prophet, so the Prophet ﷺ could judge about them. So all matters necessitating decisions would be brought forth to the Prophet. The Yehuda, the Jewish of that time, had a choice. They could bring disputes to the Prophet, or they could take the matters to their chiefs or leaders. Here we learn the actions of the Munafiq. When they were called, so the Prophet ﷺ could decree between them, as a person who is apparently a Muslim, who would feel they should go to the Prophet for judgment. But what would the hypocrites do when they saw where they would benefit if they went to the Prophet ﷺ? They would go to him running, as mentioned in the next ayah. But if they knew and believed they were not upon truth, and they went to the Prophet ﷺ, he would judge against them. So they would try to go to the Yahud. As once a Munafiq had a dispute with a Yehudi about something, the Yehudi said, "Let's go to the Prophet ﷺ for judgment." He said, "No, he is unjust, and I don't want to go to him. Let's go to your leader, Ka'b bin Ashraf, so he can judge." Their dispute about land. So for this it is said, how can it be that a person who has faith and says that the Prophet ﷺ cannot judge between their matters? How can that be? This was during the life of the Prophet. Now after the Prophet ﷺ, Muslims can have disagreements and disputes about many matters. In matters of deen, or if something is allowed or not, then where should a Muslim go to for judgment? They should look in the Quran and the Hadith. Even if we call ourselves Sunni, followers of Sunnah, we could be doing bid'at, which are innovations in religion. We must make sure that our actions are according to the commands of Allah and His Prophet, and take our decisions from those sources. The laws of Allah and His Prophet are clear. وَإِن يَكُلْ لَهُمَ الْحَقُّ يَأْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. And if for them is the truth, or the decision is to be made in their favor, they come to the Prophet, once loyal and submissive, saying, "We want decision to be made by the Prophet," because they know the decision will be in their favor. And if it is not in their favor, they do not go to the Prophet, because they know the Prophet would not judge falsely. They go to where they find their own benefit. Munafiq is a person of self-benefit and goes where there is benefit. A Munafiq is a person who has no interest in deen, but wherever they see a true believer, calls them a fanatic and speak negatively about Islam. But when it is something in their own favor, they say Islam tells us this, while they never look to Islam for anything else, and are staunch opposers of it. Wherever they find their benefit, remember Islam, while normally do not even know what Islam is. This is what the Munafiq did. Today, in domestic and family matters, the courts of the Western nations favor women. So women want to seek decisions from these courts, as Islam speaks of justice. So some women will follow Islam in things that will benefit them in matters where referring to local laws of courts will benefit them, will refer to them, as the courts have their own laws, and then they completely overlook Islam. The commands in Surah An-Nur are very clear. We must keep evaluating ourselves. When do we remember the laws of Quran and the Hadith? And do we completely ignore them? If we turn to Allah and His Messenger for all decisions, all the problems we face regarding innovations and other religious disputes, they would end. We need to find our decision of Allah and His Prophet in many aspects and matters of life. And when we learn the commands from the Quran and the Hadith and study them, but are not pleased with it and not satisfied, then we should ask for our heart with a complete faith from Allah, because this was the characteristic of Munafiq. When Allah and His Messenger gave a judgment about any matter, a believer should not have any tightness in the heart and should accept the decision happily. It should be accepted knowing that it is the decree of Allah and the decision of His Messenger, because the Prophet only gave this judgment according to the permission of Allah. So if the Prophet gives a judgment about a matter, for example, about not trimming eyebrows, or judgment about doing business, how should we react? Annoyed and ignore it? But when the matter is regarding teaching obedience to one's mother, then we like it, showing we want judgment according to our liking. Why do they turn away? أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Is there a disease or a sickness in their heart? Because the fear of a certain judgment not in their favor. While those with true faith will not leave judgments of Allah and His Messenger, nor they look for decisions from somewhere else. أَمِرْتَابُ, or are they in doubt? Doubts in their hearts if it is the truth. Otherwise, how can it be if a person has belief that this is the truth and the judgment of Allah is the best decision for them? Then how can a person not take decision from Allah and His Messenger and ask from others how to live our life, what to do in time of happiness and times of grief, and how to pray and to do other things? Do we prefer that people decide for us, leaving Allah and His Messenger, what to eat and not to eat, what to wear? If we take decisions about these matters from others, is it because there is a doubt? Is there a doubt in the decrees of Allah and His Messenger? أَمْ يَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Or do you fear that Allah and His Messenger will deal unjustly? They will judge against oneself and will not be just. Is this what they think? That Allah and His Messenger will not deal justly and fairly? Or they will take sides of the husband and they will not take any decision from them? Or they will say something that will not be correct with us or will be dealt unfairly? When the heart doesn't have any light, the light is lit in the lamp, and there is perversity in the heart, and the fitrah has become corrupt, then no matter how much the oil is shown, nothing will happen. If there is a disease within the heart, then no matter how many classes one takes, no matter how many lectures are listened to, they will not bring any benefit. Because there is no faith. The fitra is corrupted. Even what is correct is deemed wrong. And the person questions the commands of the Quran, saying everything is haram. So think, there is no need to learn about it. When this is the feeling, that means there is a sickness or doubt in the heart. When one has doubts about the commands of Allah, that He will not decree fairly, or if it is from Him at all, they don't trust that it is from Allah. When they say commands of Islam are difficult or very harsh, and think that it is against what we want, and say, how can amal or action be done at this day and age, and say, it is not fair. We think of Munafiq in Medina, what about today? Bal ulaika humul zalimun, rather these are the ones unjust and wrong. Humul zalimun is kalima al-hasr, means these are the zalim or unjust ones. Being unjust is not just hitting a weak orphan child. This also is injustice. Those who say amanna billahi wa amanna bir rasul wa ta'ana, then doing this. These ayahs in the Quran are like a mirror by which we can see ourselves. And if we do not assess ourselves and do not see our wrong, we will be lost. These two reasons or scenarios are given why one doesn't obey. Either there is a disease in the heart, or there is doubt, or they feel Allah and His Messenger will deal unjustly with them and say, this is unfair. For example, commands of veil. Are there other than these three reasons why one doesn't obey? When they say, so-and-so doesn't allow me to do it, actually, it's the either three of the reasons. When a person knows that there is good in it for them, why wouldn't they believe and obey? And know this is best for them, and no one else can decide better for me, not parents, nor husband, not anyone else. Only Allah wants the best for us, and this is why He gave us these commands. And He loves us the most, more than our mothers, our husbands, more than anyone. Knowing this, why wouldn't a person obey the commands? But one who doubts and thinks what Allah decrees is not best, but only what husband wants is better, then whoever displeases Allah for the sake of people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these people angry with this person. And whoever displeases people when trying to please Allah, then one day Allah makes these people pleased with the person, because the heart is in the hands of Allah. And if a person tries to please people by displeasing Allah, these same people, they will still not be pleased with the person. If the people are displeased about one thing today, they will be unhappy about something else the next day. They will never recognize it as a favor or be thankful that the person displeased Allah for their sake and say, you are so nice. If not today, then tomorrow. Well, if one makes people displeased while pleasing Allah, then one day Allah will make these people pleased with this person. When one focuses on pleasing one Allah instead of pleasing all people, then one day one person is discontent and the next day someone else. Can never make everyone happy. Then what is the reason from the three reasons of not obeying? Is there disease in the heart, or are they in doubt? Or are they afraid that their side will not be taken and someone else's side will be taken? Or they will face loss, or the commands are harsh? Then whoever is not pleased with the decisions and the decree of Allah and the Prophet, then these are the decisions of Allah on how we should live, what we should wear. These are the decrees of Allah. The commands we learned about in the Quran. Whose commands are they? They are the commands from Allah. He decided for us how to do things. So whoever is not pleased with them, he is from al-zalimun.